Richard Wamai, who is presently an assistant professor at Northeastern University here in Boston. His previous experience spans Harvard, Johns Hopkins, and Oxford Universities, London School of Economics, and the World Bank. He's been principal or co-PI on multiple funded grants focusing on HIV/AIDS, including male circumcision for HIV prevention and cost effectiveness. He's also worked on practices and policies in neglected tropical diseases and health systems and policy in several countries across Africa.
Good morning, everybody. So this is the outline. As you can see, the project is called OFEA, Optimizing the Resource, the Response to Prevention HIV Efficiency in Africa. This is the outline that I have. So I'll go quickly through the background, look at objectives, and how we implemented this the study. The main focus of my presentation is about the methods that we use for the OFEA project. So the background. First, we look at the context of efficiency considerations in HIV/AIDS programming. The first point is the older previous study called PANSEER that was conducted 2002 and 04, led particularly by UCSF. And that study, at that point, this would be 10 years ago, revealed large levels of heterogeneity in efficiency. And this focused on five countries, and they covered 200 sites. Next to that is 2008, UNAIDS had published data for their request for funding to 2010, and my colleagues and I wrote an article in the journal Science, and we challenged the way UNAIDS was allocating this funding that they had requested. We say that if you look at the evidence for what is working in the field in terms of which interventions have a greater scope for reducing infection, we saw that the current allocation at that time didn't go to those approaches that seemed to work. So we challenged that question. UNAIDS, which appeared then, wrote a rejoinder in the Science, and we wrote back as well, and so it was a nice debate going there. So a few years after that, well, I guess a year after that, then UNAIDS had requested first cost-effectiveness evaluation. My colleague, who's on the audience, Omar Laraga, and I and a few others worked on this review, a systematic review. And as you see here, the point, key point to note was that the evidence was actually quite sparse and not easily comparable, so the results didn't necessarily yield good specific policy recommendation for to yield a good decision. The other point is where we are with regard to current funding for HIV and AIDS. So nearly 90% of all AIDS expenditure in Africa is typically external, but global funding had declined. There has been a bit of a rebound. The Kaiser Family Foundation did an examination of donor funding and saw that there was just a slight change over 2012. But there's also a point to be noted with regard to that. So the first point is to indicate that there is a global annual need for HIV funding, which is estimated at $22 to $24 billion. So the target hasn't been reached. And so if you look at that, there has been at least some increasing spending, domestic spending for HIV interventions in African countries. Let's look at a bit of a context for the five countries the project is focusing on. So Kenya, Rwanda, South Africa, Zambia, Nigeria. And the first point of observation is with regard to what the prevalence level looks like. So this data is from UNAIDS, a report that was published in September. But for Kenya, we just did an HIV survey, AIDS indicator survey, so that showed 5.6%. You can also see the antiretroviral adult coverage for these countries. So currently Rwanda is doing pretty well. Nigeria is not doing very, very well. Percentage of donor spending or dependency, you can see Rwanda has a very high dependency, but also is Nigeria, which is kind of surprising, but I think it's typically a question of a government policy in Nigeria not to spend too much money on HIV/AIDS. They clearly can do that. One point to observe is that with regard to AIT coverage, if you are to use the 2013 WHO guidelines that starts treatment at 500 CD4 cell count, then that global coverage will be just about very low, about 37% on average. In African countries, we can see these countries are actually above average, at least for most of them, with the exception of Nigeria, because the coverage with 2010 guidelines is 68% in sub-Saharan Africa. In this context, with regard to donor dependency, one other point I can observe is that the fact that this large project, which was called AIDS 2031, the projected spending, the required spending during 2009 to 2031 would reach top up at about $722 billion, which is quite a significant chunk of money. And clearly, African countries cannot be fully dependent internationally. So why is this question important, the question of optimizing efficiency? The first point is just perhaps to relate what the PANSEA study revealed, and just a couple of comments here. One is this, that if you look at on the left axis here, it's amount of dollars spent, and on the x-axis then it's the volume of production. So if you are to move from minimum output, which is on the left side here, okay, well, there is a point, but if you are to move from the left side to maximum output, you can actually yield a 97% decrease in unit cost. But if you are to do that, that will be moving from at least efficient to most efficient facility at the facility level, where the facility will be producing 50 testing, that can also decrease the cost by 99%. Or you could have a scenario like that, where you move again from least efficient to most efficient facility that will produce 2,400 tests, and that can decrease 98%. So that's the question. So a basic hypothesis here would be to think about the heterogeneity of unit costs, the variability on average cost per service across facilities, a point to note, determinants of efficient behavior, what does cause efficiency, and it's about typically management decisions on allocation of resources. So given settings in which facilities operate, it may not necessarily always be possible to modify through interventions, and then questions of the overlap between economics and management. So management behavior can also influence cost. OFIA has some policy implications. The goal here is to try to establish these determinants of efficiency in order to inform government donors and policymakers on these questions. In Kenya specifically, the Ministry of Health is developing the next strategy plan, a four-year strategy plan for national HIV and AIDS interventions. So this study is feeding into that national plan. On Monday, next Monday, we've been called to meet to present at the ministry with regard to our findings. The study is going to comprise a chapter in the national strategic plan on costing and efficiency. So that's a direct import there. So the project period is 11 to 2014. There are four key interventions we are looking at: PMTCT, male circumcision, HIV testing, and services for sex workers. There are five African countries. The funding is from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Some other thing. One question, a key question we're looking at here, just to frame that again, is the characteristics that predict the most efficient performance in HIV delivery. And the objective here is to measure and explain efficiency specifically. There's a big implementation team in this project. Mexico, the National Institute of Public Health, CCDAT, and then you have multiple country teams, as you can see, from Kenya, University of Nairobi is a key leader, and Rwanda, South Africa, and Zambia as well. And in North America, we have multiple teams. I'm from Northeastern University. My colleague Alma is a Brown University here. And we also have California and the Center for Global Development in Washington, D.C. So let's look a little bit at sample selection here. So as you can see, we started at the top level. In some countries, we were able to get the sort of sampling frame, which is the national list of HIV providing services across the country. In Kenya, there's an e-health system. That's what we looked at first. And we scanned the country, so looked at different provinces and followed the administrative structure of the country. So in a country like Kenya, we have counties and we have districts, so we purposely selected some of these counties and districts. The key point was to hit some targets, such as we want to concentrate our sample sites in those areas where you have higher prevalence of HIV, and that was what it was. So overall, the target was to get 40 sites each for PMTCT, for male circumcision, as well as for testing and counseling, and up to 15 sites for sex workers. We had a scope of looking at how do we replace some sites, so we could visit some of the sites based on the e-health list that we had, and then once the team gets to the ground, finds that actually the service that we had sampled for was not being provided. So we would then do a sample replacement strategy. The questionnaires. So the data target at this point would seem to be that we can top out 350 plus specific sites in 5 countries. That would make Ofia significantly larger, almost twice as large as Pansia. We have 10 harmonized data collection instruments. They're very, very extensive questionnaires. One of the goals from Pansia to Ofia was to make the questionnaires more efficient here, to standardize the methods, and also to develop independent quality assurance data collection teams. Each team would have a manual for data collection. There will be team leaders, there will be supervisors, and then each team would have one set of instructions and strategy on data quality. So data was collected retrospectively by month for the fiscal year and the month prior to the data collection. And you basically here we're looking at 2011 and 2012, that was the 2-year data period we're looking at for Kenya. We looked at, just to flag a point or two here with regard to the tools and processes. So, of course, you need to have informed consent. Data was mostly electronic. There was some paper-based instruments we used, mainly the exit interview and the vignette. Those are the only two out of these 10 that we had. On the right-hand pillar, you can see the sample of data. On the left side, determinants of efficiency and environmental constraints. What were some of the data there? One of the questions here is the frequency of supervisory visits, for instance. That can help establish some of the environmental determinants or constraints. And so inputs and costs, so staff data, health inputs, and so on and so forth. Quality question, we had this cascade approach of services and competency of health personnel, services provided, and then outputs for each interventions were assessed. So people who were tested, number of mothers who attended, female sex workers counseled, number of circumcisions, and so on and so forth. And there is also a bit of an extensive here. So sample of a questionnaire, for instance. So with regard to, for instance, the quality question here, so we use client exit interviews and vignette. I'm going to skip that and just go to very briefly the analytical framework that we were using. So some considerations when thinking about measuring efficiency. With regard to outputs, all services produced in a given period of time assess the complexity, scale, scope, these points here, including type and localization of clients, quality questions, inputs, everything the facility used to produce such a service. The example I gave when doing a training in Nairobi in 2011 was, when you make a cup of tea, what do you need to make a cup of tea? And all those are the input components that you look at. So organizational environmental characteristics were considered. Quite a lot. So the question of quality. The question of quality can be looked at in two ways. One is the process quality aspect. So the vignette and patient exits, with, you know, assessing competency and knowledge, service received, and so on and so forth. And then we have the output cascades approach. And so you analyze attrition and so on and so forth. And here, the goal is that this cascade approach can reflect the comprehensiveness of a service as well as the sense of effect due to the hierarchical nature of the service. So for instance, a mother, as this is an example of some output indicators along the cascade for PMTCT, number of women attending antenatal care, if a woman is tested, is tested as positive, then the next step after that, if a mother is coming with a child, both are tested, the next step after that, that's sort of the cascade that you look at. So I'll just want to highlight very, very briefly the preliminary data, and this is partial data for Kenya and Zambia, because we finished data collection in Kenya and Zambia as well, and so these two countries, we have some bit of analysis. And just in comparison with regard to Pansia, you can see, that's Pansia there, right? And then you have Ophir. And you can see Ophir is blue, and then you can also see here with regard to both Kenya and Zambia. The key point to note here is that you don't have, the cost is not much different from Pansia. The cost is not really much different from Pansia. Time has changed, 10 years on, right? So the cost of drugs have fallen down. But the other thing is, of course, 10 years on, inflationary cost might drive costs a bit higher, whether it is utility, you know, input electricity cost may have gone up higher or lower. This is with regard to HTC testing in Zambia and Kenya. The main difference here is the gradient of the slope, as you can see. In Kenya, it is less steep. The point to note here is that changes in number of HTC clients affect the cost less in Kenya than they do in Zambia. If you are to break down HTC input cost per client, you can see for Kenya that the main cost is staff, 70.6, but if you look at Zambia, it's 88.8%. The difference between Kenya and Zambia is that in Zambia, it does seem that clinicians are providing testing, but in Kenya, the nurses are providing testing more. So the cost and the training and the salaries for clinicians is higher than nurses, and that's a difference. This is an observation with regard to quality. Maybe that's of interest to people. I just make an observation here. I have, I think, a half a minute to do that. So in this case, you have two lines, and you can't read the text, but I can observe that the average performance score, so you're measuring the average performance score here and then the individual competence score. So the performance score is assessed on the client using the exit interview, right? And then the individual competence score, you're using the provider vignette, right? So basically, the two scores are supposed to match around or aggregate around the horizontal line, and you can see that the perfect quality score here would be closer to 1. I think that the point that can be observed is that it's less proximal score matching for Kenya. So I'm just wrapping up. These are some key messages with regard to methods. I think if I was to highlight one here, implementation is a key challenge in this such a large study. Establishing good relations with people on the ground, you have to be flexible, patience is required. One key point also too is the capability. So we have been able to improve in-country research capabilities through extensive training and involving local researchers. And I would like to thank you for that.